All right, so what a wonderful passage this is. If you're familiar with the Gospel of John, these first five verses alone are completely packed with doctrine and theology that would take me weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to actually get to the bottom of it. But we'll touch on what we can in this short time of a sermon that we have. I'd like to start by giving a scenario. And this is the classic preacher's scenario of, let's say you owe a whole lot of money to a bank that you can't afford to pay off. And because you can't afford to pay it off, you're going to have to go to jail for it. It's good day, mate. See you later. There's nothing you can do about it. But then someone as mighty as King Charles comes and pays off all your debt. There's no more debt there for you. He paid off every last cent. And so what would you do with that information? Well, you'd go tell someone about it, you know, and people would want to know that this magnificent thing has happened. But when you go around to the media and you go to tell everyone about what's happened and they say, you know, who paid off for it? And you say, oh, it was that ruler paid for it. They ask you which one, and you say, oh, it was that ruler, Kim Jong-un, he saved me from prison. You know, he's the guy who pays off the debts. So what's wrong with that scenario? You know, you have identified a ruler, but you have not identified the correct ruler that has actually done that saving work for you. In fact, you've identified a ruler who would have absolutely nothing to do with you, and have nothing to do with that scenario, and will not help you in the slightest way possible. Now, that scenario is actually what happens with Jesus. You see, some people, they get the correct that they have God, or they have Jesus, but they do not proclaim who the Jesus of the Bible is that actually saves. They don't proclaim the real Jesus. So if you ever hear the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or Muslims, they all profess Jesus, but they all say something different about him that is contrary to what the Bible says. Jesus was a prophet or a good man is often what is said, you know, but he wasn't God. What John teaches throughout the whole book of John is that Jesus is God. Over and over again, scenario after scenario, story after story, parable after parable, and miracle after miracle is Jesus proclaiming that he is God. Because people don't believe that Jesus is God, they don't actually end up worshipping the God of the Bible, but they end up worshipping a mere idol. So it is crucial that we know who we are worshipping and who has actually saved us. So John here in his whole gospel gives all these accounts that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is God. So let's read and see what he has to say about Jesus so that we can actually understand who this God is that we serve and that has actually saved us and give him the honor due his name. The eternal word. John 1 verse 1 and 2. The word was with God and the word was God. So John's gospel here, it's the last of four Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all written. At this point, it's maybe around 70 AD. Many Christians, they're already familiar with Jesus. They already know who he is. They know, well, at least what he's done, his miracles. They're familiar with his events and his ministry from what I referred to as the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're very horizontal. Jesus did this and this and this and this and this. John's very vertical. He's showing you this is Jesus on earth compared to who he is as God, and he's giving you a very up and down horizontal view so that we may know the person of Jesus even better. John's gospel has a different flavor to it than the synoptics. John wrote his gospel so that we may believe and have eternal life. John 3:16. Yeah, over there. John 3:16. We may have eternal life, and that theme begins in this opening section of the gospel, verses 1 to 18. In these verses, we learn that Jesus is the eternal word from God to reveal God's glory and grace to us that we may have light and life, and receive adoption as God's children. John 1 verse 10 says that. Every encounter and teaching of Jesus that follows in this gospel underscores these points to build up our faith and help us to continue to actively follow Jesus. It begins with understanding that the Word, being Jesus, is God eternal. Jesus is not some ordinary human being. He's not some mere teacher, but he is our hope and our life precisely because of his identity as the eternal Word. John 1 verse 1 is an amazing statement of what is called the Trinity, the three in one. The Word being Jesus was not a created being, and at the same time, he's also not just an extension of some divine attribute of God or characteristic of God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, with God, that implies distinction. It is something else. It was with, not the same, but then it also says it was God, implying sameness in essence. Now, this whole doctrine of the Trinity is far more than our puny little brains can understand. It is beyond. It doesn't matter what analogy you come up in the world, they're all flawed because it is far beyond anything that this world has. It is far bigger and greater. But we know that Jesus is God, but he's not the Father, he's not the Holy Spirit, but he is God. The Word was not a created being, and at the same time, he's also not just an extension or attribute of God. The Word was with God and was God, and implies distinction, and was God implies sameness of essence. The doctrine of the Trinity declares that we worship one God who eternally exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are of the same essence, but are distinct in three persons. Now, I don't know how many of you ever read the Shorter Catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechisms. If you ever want to touch up a little bit on some theology, those are amazing 107 questions that they answer on different doctrines. And question number 6 is, how many persons are there in the Godhead? The answer, there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one God, the same in substance and equal in power and glory. This short verse is loaded with meaning to help us understand this. The word simultaneous with and was God. As you move through John 1 to 18, it gets more clear that when he speaks of the Word, he is talking about Jesus. You look ahead at verse 14. What does verse 14 say? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as only of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So why use the image of Word instead of naming Jesus? Wouldn't it make it so much easier in the Gospel of John if they just used the word Jesus instead? Or if Jesus just said the words, I am God, directly like that, but we don't have that because that's not how he spoke to our Western congregations back then, because he was in the East. So why use the word instead of naming Jesus? Or the image of word throughout the Old Testament, it points to God's actions to create and to redeem people, which mostly came through speech. John may be talking to the Greek culture here that valued wisdom, logos, the word. No, but more likely he is reminding the people of God that God has faithfully revealed himself throughout the history of their people, and that is magnified in Christ, where they see that for those promises coming into the actual physical flesh person of Jesus Christ. God desires to be known and has lovingly revealed himself to people who are lost in the darkness. See Isaiah 9:2-6 as a reference for that. You might want to write that in your notes. The Word had no beginning, and he has always been. Yeah, thanks. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. As long as people can hear. I can speak louder if it comes to that. I'm pretty good at that. Perfect. I won't turn my head much. Okay. The Word had no beginning, and He has always been. Jesus is not just a human being or some angel or an impersonal force of some sort, like the Force in Star Wars. Jesus is God and entered the creation and human history to reveal something magnificent about God's character and plan of salvation. And He does this through His creation and His new creation. John 1 verse 3. Now the Word of God is the creative force of the universe. As mentioned previously, Genesis 1 shows us God speaking the world into existence. If you look at Psalm 33 verse 6, it tells us, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their hosts. Likewise, Colossians 1 verse 16 tells us that all things were created through Him and for Him. These thoughts are echoed in John 1 verse 3 as we've looked at. Nothing in the entire universe was made without the Word, Jesus Christ. John wants us to understand that the Word of God is the creative power of the universe. This is not just looking backward either at things that have been made in the past, but rather all things are held together in Christ. And God is in the business of making all things new. John takes this idea and weaves it through John 1:1-18. To highlight that life comes through Christ and that people who receive Him experience being a new creation. As children of God. Not born of flesh and blood, but by God. Verses 12 and 13 say that. Will you look at 12 and 13 real quickly with me? It says, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We should think not solely of molecules, trees, stars, planets, animals when we think of creation, but rather we should think too of God's work to give new life to dead hearts. Jesus, throughout the Gospel of John, will invite people to eat of the bread of life, to drink of the living water, and He will proclaim that He alone is the resurrection and the life. The Word of God has the power to make us into a new creation, and that is why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. He dwelt among us and became the light and life to the world. Verses 4 and 5, they because of the creative power of the Word, John ends these opening verses by saying that the Word is the light and life of humanity. Life reveals and life is vibrant connection to God, both here and now and stretching on throughout eternity in the presence of God. These concepts get picked up over and over again in the Gospel of John to show us the fullness of what it means to believe in Christ, which implies an active pursuit of following Jesus. We are told by Jesus that He is the light of the world given to a dark world so that it would no longer remain in sin and brokenness. I'll point out a couple of verses for you. John 8 verse 12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's us Christians. Chapter 9 verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus came to bring abundant life, and He is the life. You may also want to reference in your own time, chapter 10, verse 10, 11:25, and 14, verse 6. These are not random nice statements. Not random nice statements to pick us up on a down day, but rather they are our, the Christian's, real hope. God is on a mission to restore his people from the power of sin and darkness and death. So it is fitting that the word is the light and the life of men. More than that, God's mission is not at risk of failing. There is nothing we can do to stop God's mission. He is so sovereign and above it all that he is in control, and that is such great hope for us. Light will always outshine the darkness, and the darkness will not win. And even though Jesus is the perfect revelation of God, with the sad part that many will not actually understand. Hence you have other cults and religions of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, and Muslims who proclaim a different Jesus. Many will not understand. And it is our job to go out and share that word with them, to understand who Jesus is so we can do that. Now, the word overcome in verse 5 has an interesting double meaning. It can be translated as overcome or understood. Meaning the verse could be read, the darkness has not understood it. The world has not understood Jesus. Likely John implies both these things, though, when he says this. God sends out his light, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And there will be those who do not understand it. If you see John verses 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11 say, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not even know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. There will be people who just do not know him and won't. God is revealing his glory and his grace in Christ, the Word, to show us who he is and to make us new, to give us new hearts of flesh from stone. The Gospel of John will highlight these themes again and again to give us hope so that we may believe and have eternal life. I want you to know that the sin in your life cannot and will not win if you're in Christ and the light of life. Sorry, Christ, the light and life of the world. And as you look to Christ, the Word of God, you'll grow in your understanding and knowledge of God more and more. And it is crucial that we are in the Word of God to know him. As we come to the table today, we should ask God to continue to reveal himself to our broken, dark hearts, that he will continue to show light to us as we remember his grace that he gives us. That undeserving grace, what a miracle that is. That we may serve the Word and remember his sacrifice for us and give him the honor due his name. Now, in conclusion, followers of Jesus find hope in Jesus being the eternal Word or revelation of God. If Christ was just an angel or just another created being, we would be stuck in our sins. There was nothing we could do to get out of it. We would be stuck in the darkness of this world without the beauty and life that we would have through knowing Jesus Christ. But praise be to God for his grace. Jesus is the eternal Word of God, who was with God and was God. The Word reveals God and is the power of God in his creative and redemptive mission to bring light and life to earth. And you are invited to put your faith in him and to find light and life. It's a free gift of grace. It is nothing we earn. We can't earn God's favor to be saved. We can't earn his favor for his salvation to us. But he gives it to us for free, because he loves us so much. It's John 3:16 again for you there. He loves us so much that he would send his only son, Jesus, who was God, descended to earth to die for our sins, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. O living word, creator and sustainer of all things material and spiritual, thank you for your light and your word. Thank you for the word that became flesh and died in our place. Thank you for that light that you give in the dark world and our dark hearts. Help us to know you, Lord. Help us to understand who Jesus is more and is coming to earth to die for us. As we join together in communion shortly, help us to remember you and your work to go to the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.